This is the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning. It's the most important day of the Breckenridge Wahpeton basketball calendar. It's the border battle, and we have all of our coaches coming in today to talk to us. It is Saturday, January 22nd. It's 2 below right now in the Twin Towns. And as we start every single Giant Sports Show during basketball season, we have head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Jeff Ralphin. Hey, how's it going, Coach?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a good week. Well, I think it's a good week because it's the border battle week. I've been looking forward to this one since I got up here. They told me January 22nd, clear calendar. That is the big day. Circle it in big red ink.
You know, it is a big day for our community. You know, I mean, we're going to have, five games played today at NDSCS. Good opportunity for people to come out and watch all of our teams play. You know, people ask me about it, and it's like, you know, it's fun and all that stuff, but, you know, our focus is on the EDC. But when we wake up Saturday morning of the border battle, I mean, then the focus is on playing Breckenridge, and it's a fun game, and it's a game where I think our kids always rise up to it. You know, and we talked off the air before we started about how Breck's had some really good teams, and we maybe weren't so good in those years. It was a close game, and when we were good and they maybe weren't, they were close games. So it's a bit of a rivalry game and a game the kids want to play well in. And, you know, a lot of times it comes down to you just playing with your buddies. Maybe you played Twin Town football or baseball with, and now you're gonna play it out on the basketball court against each other. So it's a fun game for that, and it's fun for the community to get out and be able to watch it at NDSCS.
Well, I think that's a real benchmark of a rivalry game is if the two teams, no matter if they're up or down, they come and play to a similar level. And I was telling you, you're much more conservative, and I get it as the head coach. I think that the Huskies play in a tougher conference. The EDC is a much tougher conference. And the stats, according to the Daily News, essentially the same across the board. When we talk to like shooting percentage and rebounding percentages, they're very similar. That's why I think the Huskies have the upper hand today. I'm going to go on a limb here and say, I, you play in a tougher conference. The numbers might be the same, but hey, it's tougher competition.
Well, you know, I think our conference is pretty darn tough.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when if you ask Steven that question, he'd say, well, Pelican Rapids is pretty good and Perm is pretty good. And I think that's true too. I mean, they're good teams, but, I think it's all out the window today just because of that. I think kids love to play in this game. And a lot of times it comes down to maybe some kid who, you know, maybe isn't the star is going to have an impact on the game. And we've seen that, you know, in 2010, we won one game that year and, you know, essentially had the game in our hands and turn it over at the end and get beat by one. But, I think it just comes down to maybe some kids making plays and I've watched them, you know, I mean, there's no secrets anymore. You can watch on Huddle any game you want to watch or go online on YouTube and watch every game. There are no secrets. And, I see some really good things. The Alex Sanchez, what a good athlete for Breck, will step out and shoot the three, really strong going to the basket with his right hand. You know, he's a kid we're really concerned about today. He can score. He can go inside and outside. So he's a problem for us. And you throw the 6'6" kid inside, the Ernst kid, he's a problem for us too. You know, I mean, we just don't have that size. So, when you put a kid inside like that, you know, how do we defend that when you're 6'1" or 6'2" and they're trying to get him the ball? I think the Johnson boy at the point, really a good point guard. He wants to get the guy. He's trying to get the ball to Sanchez to go score or Bernardes off a screen or something for a score. He can score, but I think he really looks like a point guard who wants to get the ball to the other guys. And, I think that matchup for us is going to be big today too. How do we handle him getting them in their offense, and how do we maybe keep him from doing that?
So let's talk about the EDC, because that's the last game he played on Thursday. He played against West Fargo, Cheyenne, the Mustangs. And it was a close one. I don't think it was. Was it, Coach?
Well, it was 22-16. Caden Hockert hit a three. We were down six. And then, I mean, the wheels just come off. We hit that three to cut it to six. They come down and scored, and then they just turned up the pressure. And the full court press didn't really bother us. That was just pressure to get us where they wanted us. And then once we crossed half court, you know, when you're 6 foot tall and you're getting trapped by 6'6" and 6'5", there's just nowhere to go. And that's their advantage. They have that, and they do it very well. Then they got one guy that can protect the basket, so you can't just throw it at the basket. I mean, you got to go and score. And we really had trouble with that. And, it went from 22-16 to 60-25 at half. And Cheyenne's a good basketball team. They come at you in waves. I think my stat sheet I had to reduce down to about three-quarter size, because they played about 20 guys in the game. They're loaded, and they don't shoot it great. They really shot it pretty well against us, but they don't shoot it great, but they rebound. I mean, it's incessant, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I thought a couple of times, and I complained to the officials a few times about our guys laying on the floor, and they're getting offensive rebounds, and they're looking at me like, I don't know what you want. It's a matter of rising to that, and we see that night in and night out from some teams with them, and we see Davies next Tuesday. The size matchup, and then to throw a trap with that size really is difficult for us to handle.
Well, how do you even replicate size like that, Coach, when it comes down to in practice?
Well, what we try to do then is we just put more guys on the floor to cover things up, and that helps, but you just can't duplicate that in practice. And I think kids, we get the confidence. We know where we're supposed to be. We know where the ball is supposed to go. But when you put a 6'8" kid out there in the middle of the floor, it makes it a lot more difficult in the game to do that. The second half, what was really encouraging, they backed off. I mean, there's no question they did. But they backed off into a zone, I think that was really helpful for us, because we played very well against their zone in the second half. It was the same guys. They weren't out trapping. They were just playing a traditional 2-3. But we shot layups in it. And if we can do that and we get Caden Hockert open to shoot threes, he had three more. Did he have three threes? He had four threes on Thursday night. Had 21 points. He's scoring the basketball for us. And then we get the inside game. Ethan had 13 and 8 rebounds. Jackson Cluton had 5 points in that game. Really played well. Was really aggressive offensively. Jacob DeVries and Jaden King just cutting and slashing and getting that jumper in the middle of the lane. That's what you have to do against the zone. And I really thought our kids played very well in that second half. We scored 37 points in the second half. If you can do that in both halves, you got a chance to win. But they just steamrolled us in the first half. And I mean, it is what it is. The level of competition is very high in the EDC. And if you make mistakes, when they turn it over, they turn it over underneath their basket, and we would get it. When we turn it over, it was near midcourt, and it turned into 2 points in about 3 seconds. So. That's really was the difference in the ball game. But our kids, I think we hung our heads a little bit in the first half. But when we came out in the second half, I think our kids really competed, and that's what we asked for. And that's what makes me feel good about today, is that we're coming off a really good half of basketball, and hopefully we can do that again today.
We're about the halfway point. Do you like the zone more than the man? When a team drops into zone for you feel a little bit more comfortable with that?
Well, I think Caden's shooting it really well. We got to get Blake going. We got to get Caden Kappa scoring a little more. And I think Jaden King at the high post is really a good option for us. But I'd just soon see him play man-to-man, because then we get more action I think we settle sometimes against the zone, but it's a matter of getting in the gaps and scoring more. And I think that's one thing we just have to do better. But it doesn't you know, it's not a cause for concern. Oh, now there's no one. We're in trouble. I don't see that. I don't see that at all because I see Caden really shooting it well right now.
Has he surprised you with his ability to shoot?
You know, he's had the opportunity the last 2 years, you know, in our program to do that, and he's making them now. That's a thing. You know, when you're a freshman or a sophomore playing against juniors and seniors, they don't go in that well. And now he's making them, and that's the difference. He's had the opportunities. Some of it is just strength, where that's improved for him. And then some of it is just for him. When I watch him shoot, if his feet aren't set, he's not going to make it. And when I see him shoot, I just watch his feet. And if his feet are good, I really feel good about him shooting mm-hmm. it and going in. And you know, people say, "Well, does he have the green light?" Well,
I asked that last week.
Oh, that was you. I was wondering who asked me that dumb question, but no. But you know what? Everybody has a green light to do what they can do. You know, if Jackson Clouton's going to go out and play Caden Hockert's position, when he shoots the first open three, I'm taking him out because that's not his job. You know, so. You know, I feel like our guys are getting a better understanding of what we want from them.
You want good shots.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like Caden shooting the three is a good shot. I feel like Jackson posting up and shooting is a good shot. And that's what we want from everybody, to do their job. And I think we're getting there. I think the kids are understanding more. I think you've seen Jackson we talked about, Ethan we talked about, and Jaden, you know, that they're our mid-range guys and our core guys to score around the basket, and we got to have that from them. And then we have Caden and Blake on the perimeter, and you know, I Trayton Mauch in there playing on Thursday. You know, the kid, he's fearless.
You sneak him in when I'm not there. That's what I've noticed here. If I'm calling the game, he's not in. But if I'm away, you get the guy in there.
Yeah.
I want to see him play, Coach.
He's fearless. He'll play today, I think.
Okay.
He's fearless, and he doesn't. You know, maybe some of it is just a lack of understanding, but I think it's just that he's just going to go out and play. And, you know, when we played Red River here, he played really well in the second half, and I told him, Trayton, go score. You don't need to – if you're open, score. And he did that, and I think he has that ability. He's such a great athlete, and it's so quick, can finish around the rim, and shoots a three ball really nice. You know, that's something he's going to need to work on. He's got a little hitch he needs to fix, but you know, he's a freshman out there at about 5'6", doing some pretty good things.
I loved to watch him in football. I thought he was an incredible athlete in football, and I knew when he came into the basketball program that he would be a lightning rod. I thought he'd be a spark. The way that you talk about him, though, I'm surprised that I haven't seen him play more, though.
Well, you know, we're trying to give him success.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we played him one half JV and two halves of varsity, he wouldn't get a lot of minutes. And you know, I think strength-wise, he's not quite there yet. He gets knocked around. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you're talking about a kid like from West Fargo Cheyenne, Caleb Larson. I mean, he's 6'3", and he weighs 195 pounds. And for Trey to guard somebody like that, he's just gonna get backed down and scored over and knocked down. And so we're trying to get him some good minutes. A lot of nights he'll play one half C and two halves JV, and that's what we want for him. You know, and we're doing that with a lot of guys. We're playing almost everybody we can a half a JV just to get them more action, get them more time on the floor, and you know, that just makes us better, and that's what we want from the kids. We're not trying to, you know, we change our lineups all the time, and it's not. We're not sending messages or playing mind games. We're trying to get kids
trying to win
opportunities to play well, and then that'll help us win. And that's really what we're all about. The process is bigger than just getting the W at the end. We want to play well, and that's definitely today. I think if we play well, you know, we're going to be on the good side of this thing today.
Before I let you go, well, who's going to be an X factor in tonight's game against Breckenridge?
I think for us or them?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's go you first. Well, who's going to be the X factor for the Huskies?
I think for us it could be maybe somebody on the perimeter. I'm not going to name. I don't know who that. But I think somebody on the perimeter who can maybe cause some turnovers and get out and run a little bit. I think for them, I think the point guard could be the one for them. I think if Jack Johnson has a good game, we're going to have everything on our hands today.
Perfect. That's head coach of the Wahpeton Huskies, Jeff Ralph. Coach, thanks so much for coming in and talking to me.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
I'll see you later this afternoon. You're listening to the Giants Sports Show on KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back to the Giants Sports Show on this Saturday, January 22nd. And it's coming in right now is the Breckenridge Cowgirl head basketball coach, Austin Isendorf, to talk to us about the team. How are things going?
Pretty good. Last name's Imdek.
Imdek. Oh, my gosh.
I know it's a tongue twister, so I got to always help people out on that one.
You know what? I messed that up. I apologize. I apologize on that one.
No worries.
We'll start. Let's go State of Cowgirl Basketball, because I haven't been able to get you in here. You've been different schedules and everything. How has Cowgirl Basketball been doing so far this season?
Yeah, you know, it's been a crazy season, you know, between kids being sick and some key members being hurt and really tough schedule coming out of the gate, but you know, we've been grinding. You know, we're sitting at 5-8. We knocked off DGF last Thursday night at DGF, so that was a good road win for us. So now we're hoping to, you know, we got everybody healthy now, and hopefully we can continue to keep things rolling in the right direction and building off each practice and each game beforehand. And you know, I think things are trending in the right way, and I think at the end of the season here, we're exactly at the halfway point. I still think we can end up where we want to be, and that's being a tough team in playoffs and making a run at things at the very end.
See, and that's what I like to hear, too, because I think you are in a unique situation, because you're the only team coming into this game that has a little bit of momentum. I think all the other three teams, Cowboys, Husky boys and girls, all of them are trying to look for an ignition coming out of this game. Whereas you guys already have momentum. I think that is an upper hand.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking beforehand a little bit. This game's always going to be, I call it a dogfight. I think these games are always close regardless of what any team has been doing beforehand in the season. It's that, you know, cross-border rivalry. It's that WAP, Breck, you know the kids. You know the kids you're playing against. You know the coaches. You know the families. So it always just brings that awesome environment into the gym, and I think it's always going to be a close one. And we'll see whose style, you know, prevails tonight on the girls' side. And I know it's gonna be a fun one.
How do you feel?
I think it's just exactly what I said. It's gonna be a dogfight. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's gonna come down to whose style prevails. You know, who can control the glass, who can play a little bit better defense without fouling. And just like any other game of basketball, who's gonna knock down those shots and who isn't.
In that DGF game, what'd you guys do correctly to end up with the victory?
You know, we didn't shoot the ball well at all. Mm-hmm. We really struggled actually shooting the ball, percentage wise. We did not shoot it very well. But in the second half, we only made one 2-point field goal in the whole half. Just one. But 3-point shot saved us a little bit. We only made one 3 in the first half, but then we countered with about 8 or 9 in the second half. So that helped us, and DGF was in a zone. They're in a 1-3-1 a lot of the night, and we were able to get the ball into the high post. And we have Cameron Kaler back now, who that made a huge difference. And between Cameron and Addison Twidwell and Parker Yeagy, they did a really good job of getting into that high-low action, and our guards did a good job entering the ball into the high post. So we got ourselves some easy looks there, and in the second half, we did a good job of getting to the free throw line and knocking down our shots at the free throw line and knocking down the 3-point ball. So, and we only allowed 31 points, so we played really well, really good defense.
Bingo! That's what I was gonna say. You can't only have one 2-point attempt or 2-point make in the second half and not play great defense.
Yeah.
What is that What do you go into in practice to get your team to play with intensity on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, that's, you know, we're sitting at 5-8 right now, and that's been kind of what we've been preaching for the last month or so. Is, you know, girls, we got to play good defense. You know, the great teams, the ones that are playing at the end of March or at the middle of March, beginning of March, they're teams that can play defense, and they can play man-to-man. They can put a little pressure on. They can play some zone. And they got to rebound the ball. That's been the biggest thing for us, you know. I don't like to talk about it too much anymore because it's in the past, but, you know, we graduated our all-time leading rebounder in school history in Grace Condemius last year. So these kids have to kind of figure out, all right, who's going to get these other 13, 14 rebounds a night now? Because Cameron's always got hers. You know, she's still getting her 7, 8, 9 a game. But now Addison's doing a good job. She's averaging 7.2 rebounds a game. And Parker will get hers, and Anna Erickson does a good job, as well as Carsey. And Abby Johnson rebounds the ball pretty well from us from the point guard position. But it's got to be that consistent effort where it's not up and down, and that's kind of what we've been talking about a lot this year, is it's not a switch you can turn on and off. It's got to be consistent work. If you prepare soft, you're going to play soft. So practice has to be the hardest game of the week, you know, against your scout team, against yourselves. And that's kind of been our mantra the last few weeks, and hopefully we can keep that rolling.
I love that. That's a really good, first off, great coach talk. But second off, I like the intensity that you would bring to practice like that. I do think it's funny though, 13, 14 rebounds is a big power vacuum. How do you go into the season telling your girls like, hey, look, we got 14 boards that need to be picked up. Somebody needs to do the dirty work.
Yeah, you know, we know Cameron's going to get hers. Addison Twidwell really had a good summer, and she's been producing really well for us, and continues to evolve her game. But the message was, not one person can do that for us. You know, it has to be a group effort. It has to be all 8, 9, 10, whoever it is that see the court that night, and that has to be something that you're consciously thinking about all the time. If you can't rebound, I think it was Pat Riley from the Miami Heat. He said, "No boards, no rings." So that's kind of the mantra of, if you don't rebound, you're going to have a tough time winning ball games.
So the scoring side of the ball, who are you looking at in this game against the Huskies to put the ball in the hole?
You know, we lean on Carsey quite a bit. You know, mm-hmm. Carsey's getting 12 points a game for us. We're not scoring the ball like we have in the past. We average 60-some points a game in the past. We're down into the upper 50s. But, you know, Carsey's going to get her 12 to 22 any given night. You know, if she gets hot from behind the three-point line, watch out. She's a great shooter. She's shooting 40% from three on the season. That's great. Parker Yeagy, she doesn't see herself attempting as many threes, but she's in the 40 percentile as well, three-point percentage. So our leading scorers on the year, just the top five to give it to you, is Carsey Matiri, Parker Yeagy with 9, Abby Johnson with 8.8, Cameron Kaler, again, who she's only played 6-7 games this year. She's been sick. She rolled her ankle in the first game back, so it's just been hard getting our senior leader on the court. But she's averaging 8 points a game, and then Addison Twidwell would be next, averaging 5, and Anna Erickson right behind her with just shy of 5 as well.
I like all those names. You want to know why I like all those names? Because all of those names were on the state volleyball team, so I know all those names.
Yep.
That's what I like to hear. I like to hear all these athletic individuals for the Cowgirls. So who's your X factor coming, or what are you looking at as like the X factor coming in this game against the Huskies?
Well, I'm sure Coach Washington's out there somewhere listening, so I don't want to say too much here, but I know we got to stop their transition. You know, they have spurts where they're really good at getting on a transition and getting easy buckets. You know, we don't want to give up easy buckets, so controlling the rebounds is part of that. We want to crash the offensive glass, control the transition. You know, we just got to play together. I think we got to worry about what we do well. And let our play kind of take care of the best, and let them have to kind of counter that. So just worry about us, worry about what we execute well. Communicating on defense has been a struggle for us throughout the year at times. So just being good teammates, communicating, and being on the same page, I think that'll be the biggest part.
So coming out of this game, let's talk about the second half of your season. Because, again, I don't know the next time we're going to talk. We need to get you in here more, Coach.
Yeah.
I do enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, and it's been a crazy season. We've had some Saturday games. We've been here. We've been there. It's been a crazy season. Cancellations, postponements. It's been a little wild.
Second half of the season, what are we looking at for the Cowgirls?
You know, like I said, I think we want to keep trending in the right way. I think we got some good things in place. I think kids are starting to get confident. And we got to continue to keep that rolling, but we got to continue to keep working hard too. You know, no days off, getting 1% better type of mentality. We're still, you know, we're a 1A team now this year, which is going to benefit us when we get to the playoffs, but we still play our HOL conference schedule. You know, we got Moorhead on the schedule. They're a 4A team. Our game last week against West Central, they're a solid 2A team that was in the Class A state tournament last year that got bumped up to 2A. We were supposed to play them. So we really play a 2A schedule. Yeah, we're going to take our bumps and bruises because, I mean, truly, look at our enrollment. Look at the numbers in the program. We're a 1A team. You know, we're a 1A program. But playing a 2A schedule all season long, we're going to be battle-tested by the time we get into playoffs, and I think that's going to benefit us at the end of the night. You know, we played Underwood earlier on in the season, and we lost to them by 2. And, you know, and they're a top 15-ranked team in state and number 2 in our section. So, you know, that'll be key for us. But we got to keep rolling. We got a lot of conference games. We got our second round of conference games coming up here now. So learning from mistakes that we've made and being able to change a few things and execute a game plan, I think we'll be right where we want
to
be.
Coach, it was so good talking to you. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. Sound good?
All right, sounds good.
You're listening to the Giants Sports Show on KBMW 1450. That girls game tips off today at 3 p.m., but you can listen to the pregame show with Turnable Office here at 2 p.m. on KBMW 1450. We'll be right back with more of the Giants Sports Show next on 1450 KBMW.
And now, back to the Giants Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giants Sports Show on KBMW 1450. Got a treat for you right now, talking to the Wahpeton Lady Huskies basketball coach, Brian Watson. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. I wish it was a little bit warmer, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
I was going to say, staying warm. You got the Steelers knitted cap on. That's a bold choice.
Well, I got to represent. I mean, six Super Bowl championships. You can't go wrong. So,
I love it. Let's talk about West Fargo Cheyenne before we get into the border battle game today at 3 p.m. KBMW 1450 is where you can hear it. And I thought you guys had it. You cut the lead down to single digits in the second half. It was 69-60. And then to end it, it was a 23-14 run is what I had. You guys played really good. I think that this team continues to get better. We talk about this every week, Coach, about like just incrementally getting better, and I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting better. I mean, I think you have to kind of ignore what our record is, and you can look at the way that we've been playing on one side of the ball, and it's been pretty good. Against Cheyenne, that's a game that we went into, you know, feeling like, you know, maybe we could get that one. That's a team that's above us in the standings. We played really well to open the season at their place, losing by a bucket on the last second shot. So we went into that game with some confidence, and we started, you know, the way that we thought we could. You know, we came out of that thing and, you know, took the lead and, you know, put a little bit of pressure on them, and we were in control early, and then they they settled down a little bit, and then they started hitting shots from all over the place. They were knocking down threes like crazy. They had I think they had five or six in the first half, and then they ended with 12, and a three-point line ended up being the difference in that game.
And I talked to the head coach of the Mustangs after the game, and I asked, hey, this Brianna Dick, she's a sophomore, I wanted to say, yeah, sophomore, and 31 points. I asked, did she shoot this well? Because I looked at the scouting report, Coach. I didn't see her name anywhere. And it turns out she just has had a hot hand this week. And that's just sometimes that's how the games go.
Yeah, sometimes you just run into players that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they're just feeling it on a certain night. And, you know, the thing about Cheyenne and some of these other schools that we play against, they've got players on their roster who could go somewhere else and start and, you know, maybe be at all conference level, but they get hidden behind other players. So Cheyenne's certainly in that mix, and they're a team that's like that. So I think on any given night they have players on their roster and on their bench, because Brianna came in off the bench, who can come in and score and do a lot of different things. They just, you know, they have a lot of juniors on that team, and they're experienced. So, you know, that's something that we have to kind of battle against. We know who we need to take away on certain teams, but we've got to prevent, you know, that extra player from coming in and having a good night. We did the same thing against West Fargo. You know, Simon had 35 in that game, but then Seymour had 17, you know, again, and all those were on three-pointers. So we've got to be able to, you know, try and contain that big player on a team. And, you know, that player can go off for whatever, but we've got to contain and try and stop everybody else from getting outside their average. And we weren't able to do that against Cheyenne.
I want to talk about Scout Woods, because she had an excellent game last Saturday against West Fargo. The Packers had a, I think, double-double, 20 points, 10 rebound game. And then on Thursday, I could see you getting frustrated. I could see the teammates getting frustrated. She was not getting any calls when she was going to the hoop.
That's EDC basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody has to remember that Scout's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
She did play last year as an eighth grader, but really, she's a freshman playing varsity basketball. And in the grand scheme of things, that's a rarity. You know, in our school, we have players who play way before their time in varsity. And we've got players this year, Latea Lunenberg, Scout Woods, you know, they're playing before really they should be. You know, at best, you know, maybe they should be playing JV. You know, if you look at our team, you know, you take out one of our starters and we're a JV team. So, you know, for us, we've just got to kind of dance with who we bring and, you know, try and get those girls, you know, to play the best that they can night in and night out. But it's really difficult to do, to have that consistency. It's difficult for a senior to have that consistency. Now you're asking a freshman to do that. You know, we see different styles. Teams can try and focus on one player and take that player away. You know, they've got enough kids on their side where they don't care about fouls, and now they can play physical. And, you know, if they have three fouls or whatever, they can just bring somebody else in. So we've got to be able to play through some of that, and our freshmen have to understand, you know, that it's a long season, and you've got to try and be as consistent as you can. And then some nights you're just not going to have it, and we'll have to look for somebody else to pick up that slack. And we got some of that from our bench, which we've been fortunate with this year. Emma Bonch has had a great game against Cheyenne. So, you know, we've got some parts that we can use. We're just looking to try and get everybody going on the same night.
Let's talk about the game coming up today against the Cowgirls. Talked to the head coach of the Cowgirls just a couple seconds ago, and he was telling me that he thinks it's going to be a dogfight, a rock fight. It's going to be back and forth type of a ball game. What do you expect for today?
I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I think if you look at this game throughout the years, sometimes it turns out to be kind of a bad basketball game because the players are so tight. But this year is a year that I think we're pretty evenly matched. I think in the past you've had one team that maybe was better than the other, and still it comes down to being a good game. And I think this year these teams are pretty even. We've got some of the similar type of players. They still have size, but they don't have all the size that they've had in the past. You know, I think if you look at our guards, they're good matchups. And for now, you know, everybody's played in this game too. So it's not like we're going to have kids that are going to go in this game and be nervous because they've always watched the game from that perspective. So I think it'll be a good basketball game. I think it'll be very competitive. And, you know, it might come down to the last team that has the ball.
Head coach of the Lady Huskies, Brian Watson. You can listen to that game here on KBMW at 3 p.m. Coach, good luck today.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW. We're going to have more of the Giant Sports Show in a second, talking to the head coach of the Breckenridge Cowboys, as well as highlighting the Hunting Heritage Banquet on Friday, February 4th. Some more coming up after the break.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giants Sports Show on this Saturday, January 22nd. I have Jordan Christensen coming in talking to us about Breckenridge Cowboy basketball. And Jordan, you crack me up because before we came on air, you go, I got a lot of stats for you, and you know, some of them aren't very good. But I'll say this. I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I've covered the Huskies all season long, called a lot of the boys' games, called a lot of the girls' games. I think that the Huskies are going to be better, playing a better conference. I think that they have an upper hand against the Cowboys. You coming in, coaching the Cowboys, tell me that I'm wrong. Talk me off this cliff.
I think we're getting a lot better. We haven't played a very easy schedule either. I mean, Moorhead's been on our schedule. We played a team from the cities or close to cities, Zimmerman. And the HOL is not bad this year. They've got a kid, like DGF we played. They're solid. They've got a kid. He's a legitimate D1 recruit. Like, he's getting looked at by almost like Big Ten schools, I think, at this point. And then Barnesville, they're just physical, so that's going to be a good prep for this game. I mean, this is going to be fun today. I'm excited for our kids, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game. Both teams are kind of struggling, but, I mean, I've watched enough of the Huskies. Both teams are getting better, too.
Now, Jordan, did you get a chance to play in the border battle?
Oh, yeah, I played in it for 3 years.
How'd you do?
I don't want to say how the
team do.
0-3.
0-3, okay.
0-3.
I had
a lot of fun. It was a fun atmosphere.
And that's all we want. We just want the kids to have fun. We raised a little bit of money for a good cause. So, you know, that's...
Can I talk about that
for
a second?
Yes, you can. Go on.
Because so the Klatt family lost their house to a fire. They're a Breckenridge family. There's a sixth grader, Ralph. He's in my class at school, actually. And then Sarah, a fifth grader. And all the proceeds to the 50-50 today, and then the excess from the shirts, too, that we're selling are going towards... Yeah, we're giving it to them, which is a really good thing because it's just helping somebody out in need right now.
That's great. And every year we pick a really good cause. And, you know, no cause, I think, is better than helping somebody, especially in this time of the year when it's 2 below in the Twin Towns. Like, you know, it's a tragedy what happened to them. And it's good that there's, like, you know, something like this that can bring the two towns together and money will go to them, resources will go to them.
It's really good because they're a really nice family, and it's a tough situation.
Of course. Let's talk about this game a little bit more. You guys, again, you've gotten better. Who do you expect to have a big impact in today's game against the Huskies?
Well, what we need to have happen is Alex Sanchez has to have a good night scoring the ball. He's our best scorer. I think he's averaging about 12 a game. We got to get him going because we kind of go offensively how he goes. We got to give him the ball in spots he can do something with it. And our biggest thing, we can't turn the ball over. That's been our biggest. We play solid defense in the half court, but we've been turning it over too much and then give up transition points off of turnovers. And, I mean, I'm watching the film from Thursday night. We had, I think, 12 points given up off just either bad shots or turnovers going the other way for easy layups, and we lost by 12. And it's like that's kind of the moral of our story that so far this year. Can't turn the ball over.
No kidding. All right. You can't turn the ball over for if you're the Cowboys. The Huskies have a similar problem. I've seen that they'll end up turning the ball over when they get pressured. Do the Cowboys have the type of pressure that you could put on the Huskies?
We haven't shown much of it this year, but we might be able to do some things. But we changed a couple things up defensively this last week, and that should help a little bit.
Let's talk about the second half of the season for the Cowboys. Go over what you can expect in the second half of the season.
Well, we're starting to play a couple more 1A's this next week, which we're playing a 2A schedule, but we've got Wheaton and then Hillcrest coming up in their section opponents, which will be kind of a good measuring stick to see how playoffs will go. And then we're finishing out conference play, and hopefully we can steal a couple HOL games and win the games that we should going down the stretch versus some 1A teams.
That is what I like to hear. Does it look like a playoff team, Jordan? I know you're going to tell me yes, but does it look like a team that the Cowboys can make a kind of run?
I would say we're in a decent spot right now because we're going to be overlooked just record-wise, but we've played a way harder schedule than all the teams that are in our section. It's not even close. Like, everybody else is playing 1A schools, and we're playing HOL and Moorhead and Zimmerman from down by the cities and going up to Thief River. It's good for us in the long run. It's not great for our record, but we'll be ready playoffs.
And, you know, the record, especially in Minnesota, does it really matter? Because it's kind of like a point system, too.
No, it really doesn't matter. If we steal a couple games against higher class teams, that's going to bump our – it's called the QRF, mm-hmm. and it's all points-based. And it's kind of just – it's I don't like it, to be honest. Yeah. I wish they just let the coaches vote and seed it that way, but –
You sound like an old school football coach from like before the BCS.
Well, yeah, I would say I'm a little bit like that.
Just let the coaches vote. I like it. And today, 5 p.m. tip off, or give or take, because of the girls' game coming before it on KBMW 1450. I'll be on the call for that, so I'm excited to see what the Cowboys can do. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope this game is a really close one, and that
So you're saying it's not going to be close?
I don't think so. That's my.
You don't think so?
Can I defend myself? Here's what I think. I think that the Huskies play in a tougher conference. They've got beaten up by a bunch of bigger guys, and now they're going to play Breckenridge, who don't have the size as some of these other teams, and they've got a lot of pent-up aggression. If little brother keeps getting beat up on the block, he's going to take it out on somebody, and hopefully the Cowboys don't get the short end of the stick. That's my where I'm coming from, Jordan. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Okay. I love that you said that. That's whiteboard material. That's fun.
That's fine. Yeah, no, and that's. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a really close game, and you know, I hope people have fun. But you can say 0-3 when you played. So, you know, what are we doing here?
Hey, it'll be dogfights.
Okay.
Every single WAP game, WAP Breck game, there's kids that step up that you don't expect it, and it's always a
who do you expect
fun
to do
atmosphere.
It? Who's the X factor for the Cowboys?
Cowboys today, Gavin Snyder.
Okay.
Need him. He'll come off the bench, I think, and he's a kid that can score it pretty well and brings a lot of energy defensively.
I'll bring it up in my pregame show. Thank you so much for coming on, Jordan. We got to do this more often. I enjoy talking to Coach Lip. You came on to talk to me during football season. Every time you come on, I have a good time. And, you know, we're not doing a show next week. The following week, February 5th, I want to say, is the next time we're doing a show. Come on, and we'll talk about the border battle.
All right.
We'll have
and
a good time.
And I hope I can say that you're dead wrong.
We'll have a good time. More great stuff coming up next on the Giant Sports Show. Talking to Brad from the Hunting Heritage Banquet next. You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show on this Saturday, January 22nd. And we got a good one for you, talking about the Richland Renegade Toms Hunting Heritage Banquet. Brad, I'm so excited that you called me to come in and talk about this, because I looked into it a little bit more, and I'm excited. You've been doing this for a long time. You talked to me that you talked to Scott about it. You talked to a bunch of people here about it. I love the fact that I can kind of be the next guy helping you guys spread the message.
Yep, I'm glad we can be on. Yeah, we have our banquet Friday, February 4th in Morton. Doors open at 5:30, supper at 7. But a little brief history on the National Wild Turkey Federation. They started in 1973 in Edgefield, South Carolina, by a guy named Tom Rogers. He wanted to conserve turkeys, and he wanted to save habitat. And back then, there was only about, 250,000 1 million turkeys, and now there's about 7 million. And NWTF now has built up to 250,000 members in the United States, and they've got a lot of land they've conserved and enhanced for hunting, and they've got a lot of things going on, conserving acres and getting young hunters out there again, and we got to start them young and get them going.
Yeah, I didn't get started young, and now I'm too old to just jump in and try it, I guess.
Oh, you're never too old to start hunting. Get out there and enjoy nature.
Did you get a chance to hunt at all this season?
I didn't, not on a wild turkey. I didn't get one. I've been some pheasant hunting and did some deer hunting, and just like to get out in the outdoors.
Yeah, get some fresh air, get things going.
Yep.
That's what I like to hear, Brad. So tell me more about this, because you got live and silent auctions here, gun raffles, and can anybody come to this?
Yep, we have tickets at the door. We kind of like to get people signed up ahead of time so we know how many meals to serve. Hills 210 Cafe has the caterer. She does a really good meal. Antelope Creek out in Morton, they have a cash bar. We have meat raffles throughout the night. We have live and silent auctions. A lot of nice stuff on the live auctions. We have several guns and prizes that people can play games for. We have Plinko, pull tabs, a shot shell game. Then we have a couple other raffles during the night, card raffles and such. But everybody's welcome. We have a woman in the outdoors table that's kind of leans toward the female persuasion, the female hunter, but there'll be a couple guns on that game. And then a general raffle is a lot of prizes. Joanne and I cleaned out the basement. We didn't have a big banquet last summer because we didn't have one in the winter because of COVID. So we've gotten a lot of stuff to put on the general raffle. So, yeah, there'll be tickets at the door. And you can go online, too, and purchase your tickets ahead of time. But you can give Luke Glarum a call, or Leroy Smith, or Les Bergstrom, or I, and we can set you up for tickets.
Yeah, I think I got your number here for the phone call. Do you want to give it out?
Sure. It's Brad at 701-899-0064. And we have people, once you've come to our banquet, it's a nice little banquet, anywhere from 80 to 120 people. It's a nice, cozy banquet, a lot of prizes. I think if you come out, you'll have a good time.
I'm looking forward to it. When you told me about this, I said, okay, I got to make sure I get out there. I was talking to our unofficial producer, Big Mike, about it. I was saying that this looks like the type of thing that I want to do. Now, granted, Big Mike has a kid, so he ends up not getting to go to a lot of the fun adult parties. I do not. So I get to go to the fun adult parties. This looks like a fun party for me.
Yep, I think you'll have a good time. And like I said, if you need any tickets or have any questions, give me a call.
All right, and that number again, 701-899-0064. Early bird drawing for, $100? Is that
$100
correct?
$100 cash, yep.
$100 cash, that's great. You can buy your tickets before January 28th, so that's later this week. And tell them again where they can get these tickets at.
You can get them online or give Brad a call at that number.
Uh-huh.
I also want to say some of the things we do. Every Thanksgiving and Christmas, we give out 10 smoked chickens to the Richland Wilkin Food Pantry. We work with the Red River Sportsman's Club. I really believe in their Junior Wildlife Club and their club. We work together to donate time and money and effort to their junior wildlife programs, whether it's the duck hunt out by Lake Tawakin, where I grew up, beautiful area. And they do a goose hunt in Minnesota. We have a Chuck House is gracious enough to have kids come out and hunt pheasants out on his farm. I think this was the sixth year. So, and this is our 16th year having a banquet. So hope you guys can all come out and enjoy yourself. And if you come out, have some fun, play some games, maybe you'll win some prizes. There's a lot of them.
There's a ton of prizes you can go win. It's going to be a lot of fun. That is the Hunter's Heritage Banquet Friday, February 4th. We're going to be talking about it all week over here on 1450 KBMW. Brad, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us. And you guys have a safe winter, and let's kind of keep the snow away till like May.
Yeah, Big Mike will have to keep pushing it for us. Want to thank all the coaches for coming in and helping us out this morning. Border Battle this afternoon, 3 p.m. for the girls, 5 p.m. for the boys, and we'll be right back here for more great country music on the Voice of the Valley, KBMW.